It really is. I tell you what, I've had a pretty eventful week, to be honest. Had something almost every night, and that's okay. I'm used to that. I know how to stay busy with school and with church and with work and everything that goes on in between. That I get busy. I do. But sometimes the devil will throw darts directly at me. And sometimes they land and I have to deal with stuff. So needless to say, I had finished my sermon, gotten everything done yesterday evening. I was almost there. I was going to open my Bible one more time, Trey. And I got hooked into that Braves game. I did. Not to mention Auburn, too, so I was kind of, you know, what do you do when you go back and forth, Mike? What's it called? Yeah, I'm channel surfing. I'm watching two episodes. I'm watching two things happen at once. I mean, I'm multitasking at my finest here, which Tony says I'm not good at, but I can work that remote, and I've got it. And if you just don't talk to me, I'm in a zone. I'm watching. And so the game is getting towards the end. It's getting good is what it's getting. And my phone is right down there, and it rings. This is probably about the area of 10:30-ish. Yeah, it was late. I don't know, maybe my time's wrong, but the game went to at least 10:30 and beyond because I finished listening to it on the radio, and it's my daughter, Emily. And I said, ugh, what's happened? Hello? Hey, Daddy, I hit something. Where are you? 14. How close? Selma. Ugh. And the car won't move. Man. So I had to go get Gil out of bed. Had to get my neighbor out of the bed because I took reinforcements just in case. Didn't know what I was getting into. Loaded up the biggest trailer I had at the house and I headed towards Selma. Surely we can fix it. Surely we can fix it. Well, whatever she hit, and the reason she was in Selma because she was heading to the hospital to go and spend the night there because she was on call. That was the whole reason of this. But she had said, no, I'm going to run over here and run over there. She had made a couple of stops and nobody had called her, so she was good. Then she ran into I think Trey's right, it might have been a hog. She hit it. Poked a hole in the radiator. All the radiator fluid leaked out. The car shut down. Which, that's good. It didn't hurt the engine. It just shut down. But the problem is it wouldn't go nowhere else. So then you're just stuck looking at a car. So finally I get to her. One of her friends comes, gets her up from Selma, gets her off 14. So I have to drive, go pick her up. Needless to say, come back, figure out I can't do nothing with it. Spot the big hole. We've got water with us. We're going to fill it back up, see if we can limp it home. No, that did not work. Most as I poured it in, it was pouring out the bottom. So I said, okay, scratch that theory. Got to call for a wrecker now. Wrecker takes about an hour. Needless to say, my head hits the pillow at about 2:30 this morning. And trust me, I was just watching the Braves. That's all I wanted to do. Curveball right at me. But you know what? We overcome. The bad part was I had to pick her up this morning at 7. Guess what time I woke up? 7. And I texted her because Tanya was already asleep. And so I had to send Tanya over there. Reason she's not here this morning, she had to go intercept her. Go get her from Selma, get her back home. Anyway, you live to fight another day is what you do. When things happen to us the most, when things happen unexpectedly in our lives, we handle it. We deal with it. We know God's got a plan for us. I want to open up this morning with something I really want you to think about, because my message is so simple today. It is. It's very simple. And I felt led to deliver this message because there's somebody in this congregation today that needs to hear that you cannot lose your salvation. Somebody in this God's house today needs to hear that. You cannot lose your salvation. You can't. Once you have accepted Christ, you are His. You can't lose this. This is not something that can be taken away from you. Do we drift from the center realm of things? Yes, it happens. But you cannot lose your salvation. You cannot. And I can back it up with Scripture to prove it. If you turn to Romans 8, 35 through 39, I want to share with you what God's, and I've already jumped the gun on that, Trey. I have. But I want you to look at Romans 8, 35 through 39, and then we'll go over and we'll open up the service this morning. Look at what he says right here, Romans 8, 35 through 39, and then we're going to jump over to Colossians 3, 12 through 17, and that's where I'll be preaching from this morning. But look at what he says right here, Romans 8, 35 through 39. Kim, I hope I told you that right. I did. Look at what God's Word said, and you read on the screen if you didn't flip to it. Look at what he says, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced, here's the meat and potatoes of it. Look hard right there. Underline it in your Bible. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, depth, or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. There is nothing that can separate us. Paul just goes through the entire list right there. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing at all. Flip over to Colossians 3 real quick. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. We're going to open up with a word of prayer right this morning. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Father, let's pray. Father, Lord, we are in your house, Father God, and we are thankful to be here. Lord, you know each and every one of our hearts in this house, Father God. And Lord, maybe there's somebody in here this morning who needs to get right. Lord, maybe there's somebody. We've seen the examples, Father God. You've moved through other people, Lord, and showed us who needs to rededicate, Father God, or accept you for the first time. God, let down the scales today, Father, for them. Let them come forward, Father God, no matter whether it be to join our church, Father God, to accept you, whatever the plan is, God. But I know there's something stirring in here, dear God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you be with each of us, Father God, as we see your message so clearly in your word, that God, we will take it to heart, Father God, and we'll let it penetrate our souls. Let it penetrate our spirit, Father God, as, Lord, we see examples all around us of your love, of your mighty work. God, be with this church, God, as we want to grow towards you, Lord, in all that we say and in all that we do. We want to be the blocks, Father God, that build up according to you. Lord, that we are there for you, Father God, right in your midst, dear Lord. Help us to have our eyes open, Father God. Our eyes open to what's right around us, to whether we can be a witness, an encouraging word, a word of Scripture, whatever you might need, Father God, as we're all just small pieces of the puzzle. But Lord, the masterpiece you're working on, Father God, is beyond us, Lord. Our minds can't fathom, dear God, what you have in store for us. And that's your glory. Dear God, be with us this morning as we study your word, Father. You hear all of our prayers, God. You are the all-knowing, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Lord, be with us as a church as we just lift our minds to you today. Lift our hearts, dear God. Lord, we love you and we thank you. These things I ask in your name. Amen. As we think about this too, my message this morning is being thankful. Now, I know Halloween's today, but you will, Lord willing, wake up tomorrow morning, and it will be what date? November the 1st. That is exactly right. And it is our Thanksgiving month, right? I know you want to jump ahead to Christmas, but let's do them one at a time. Let's concentrate on Thanksgiving right here. And it is the day we are to be thankful. So this entire month, and I want you to start thinking about it right now because I've got a little chore for you. I want you to thank God for something every day. Every day all the way up to Thanksgiving. Tell him what you're thankful for. Blessings he's given you. Being able to work. Whatever God lays on your heart to remember to be thankful. Thank him for the day. Thank him for the fresh start. Thank him for the blessings that he has. Colossians 3:12. Look at what God says in his word. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, I have four children that I love unconditionally. And I do. You've had children. You love them unconditionally. Now, those children can anywhere from make me sad to mad to a disappointment to hurt my heart. I don't know. There's several emotions you can feel. Scared, fearful, murderous? Yeah. That wasn't on my list. Brother Trey no longer take Susie's. But there's different things that can happen that we experience emotions toward our children. I experienced quite a few last night as I was driving to Selma in the middle of the night where I did not want to be because I know that I wanted to be all I could be for y'all this morning. I did. But I'm still all I can be for y'all this morning. I just had a hiccup in my plan. That was it. But when we talk about being thankful, when we talk about those being loved unconditional, and just like I shared with you in Scripture, there is nothing that can separate the love of God from us. And it dawned on me, Jesus feels the same way about me as I do my children. He loves me unconditionally. He knows that I make up, and I've made him hurtful or sad and disappointed, and I've hurt his heart. But he still loves me unconditionally. Let me share with you a little story. There was a monastery in Europe. Monastery was very, very beautiful, but it sat on a 3,000-foot cliff that they had built. And the only way to get to this monastery was in a basket that somebody had to pull you up on that rope. And it said they had this basket that you would sit in and hoist you up. Strong men at the top would hoist you up, rope by rope. One rope would hoist you up, and there was another rope that held the basket, and you could come and see the monastery. He says, so as an American tourist there, I wanted to see this. So we went there, and they said, well, all you have to do is get in the basket, and you know, as they would, hoist you up. And as they're hoisting you up, that thing would sway back and forth. 3,000 feet's a long way to be hoisted in a basket. And so as they were pulling, he said, as he got to about 1,500 feet, he started noticing how old the rope looked. And how frayed it was as it went around that pulley and back. And he was like, oh, gosh. And so he yelled up, hey, when do y'all change the rope? And the monks looked down and they said, whenever it breaks. Not very reassuring words that you want to hear. Swinging back and forth. You think about that. Today I want to ask you, how strong is your rope? When we talk about not losing our salvation, how strong is your rope? Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. A lot of people today, though, feel like their rope is frayed. And I know what you think a lot of times, that rope's going to break and you're going to slide straight to hell. I know that crosses your mind, but that's not the case today. That's not the case. Your hope is secure in Jesus. Our faith is secure in Christ. The Lord loves us. When I answered the question last week, I wanted to tell y'all again, what is true godliness? Matthew Henry quoted it the best I've ever heard when he says, it means trusting God to provide for our needs while being content with what he supplies. That is hands down true godliness. No matter what comes at you, God has you. Look at the other part of 12 right there. Therefore, as God's chosen people, you're chosen, the Lord chose us. He not only loves us, but he chose us. Look at 13 and 14. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You are a chosen people, is what you are. The good news here is not only does he love us, that he chose us. When you are chosen, you want to honor God no matter what. You want to honor him. Let me move you to my second story of this week. I get a phone call from Mr. Hayward Hartzog. And I'm going to say he is an older young man. And I'm going to leave it at that. And that's the best way I know. I'm going to leave it right there. He's an older young man to me. And when this man calls me and he says, hey, Brother Michael, I want to get remarried. I need you to perform a service. I found a sweet girl that I just think the world of and I love her. And I said, okay, well, when's the date? Get back to me and set the date. He calls me back. He says, how about Wednesday? This was Tuesday. I said, now that's a little quick. He says, well, you know, we never know. We live in day to day. I said, well, I understand. I got you. I feel you, but you're going to have to give me Thursday. Wednesday's too much already. I got choir practice. I don't need to have a wedding in the middle of the cantata singing. But anyway, so we can do this Thursday at 7. Let the kids know. We'll show up. And he had a couple of people. We got everybody here. Lo and behold, the point is, we had a beautiful ceremony right here at the church Thursday night with several witnesses, probably 10 to 15 people. And it was the sweetest wedding I've ever done. And I wasn't under any stress whatsoever. Tanya had even got her a little bouquet of flowers. And he got to hand them to her. And they had their rings. My point is, we're never too old to honor God. It would have been easy for them to say, we're okay. We don't have to do this. But they chose to do it, just like we're chosen. Honoring God is something, as you know, we step through this life day by day, step by step. And when you see a sweet couple like that, that just wants to honor God, that's an example to set by. Amen? That truly is. That's exactly what he's telling them right there. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. Look at what he says over all these virtues. Put on love, which binds them all together. Because the third point today is the Lord has given us his Spirit. He has given us the Holy Spirit. That it washes right over us. Look at what 15 and 16 says right there. Look at what he says. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And he even tells you, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and as you admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. God sends his Spirit to convict us. He sends his Spirit to convict our hearts, to open our eyes to the truth and show that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We are. That is what it is. Whether you're in here for the first time today or you've been coming for 20 years, it doesn't matter. We are all children of God. That's what we are. As we begin this month, as we start it off, tomorrow is your day one. Let's be thankful for all the blessings that God has given us, for all the blessings that he has done for us. No matter how young, no matter how old, it doesn't matter. We will honor him because we are loved and we are chosen by Jesus. You cannot lose your salvation. You can't. It is there with you. Once you've accepted him, when he has came into your heart, you have him. Last verse right there says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Lord, we are thankful, Father God, for the example. God, we're thankful for your word, God, that you give each and every one of us. Help us all as we start our months to be thankful for you, dear God, to Lord, to see you working behind the scenes. God, open your eyes to what you need us to see. Maybe it's that person or whatever it is, God. I know that you know. Sweet Jesus, be with us, God, because you have. You've chose us. You love us, Father. You give us your Spirit, Lord. Lord, help us to have the exact true godliness. We already know we're sanctified, dear God. We're set apart. Lord, you've called us to something special. And Lord, when you're building upon that stone by stone, God, I pray, Lord, that you will just watch over us. Lord, we love you and we thank you. These things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. Brother Trey.